Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, good afternoon and welcome back to my live show radio 1001 Night on Community Radio Castlebar 102.9 FM or on the web at crcfm.ie. I'm so happy because I have the pleasure of introducing this lovely group called my cousin Harry, Kate, by Brian Duffy and Claire Sanders. Hello, how are ya?
Sonia, thank you.
Brian and Claire, welcome and thanks for coming in to share with us this wonderful moment.
Thanks for having us.
My cousin Harry, it's a really, really nice name. What is the reason for this cool name?
Wow. I have a cousin called Harry, funnily enough, and we played in Westport House last year, and he owns it, so Harry Hughes. And also in Hotel Westport, and I kept saying to Claire, there goes my cousin Harry. So we decided that's a really good name for a band, so we went with my cousin Harry.
We've been trying to come up with a name for such a long time.
So over 2 years.
Yeah.
Kind of, oh my God.
We've been playing as a duo for two, 3 years at this stage, and we just couldn't decide on a name. And so when Brian said, oh, that's my cousin Harry, he said, maybe this could be a name.
It's really cool. Yeah. I really like it. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Who inspired you to make your own music?
Wow. It's a mixture of my own songs. Now it would be Leonard Cohen, Bob Dylan, Neil Young. That's the sort of music I grew up on. But later on in life, I listened to Townes Van Zandt and Guy Clark, John Prine. So it's a mixture of country and Americana folk, I'd say, with a lot of traditional Irish music thrown in there and a lot of traditional Irish songs as well. So it's a very good mix of a lot of different styles. I'm the youngest of nine kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had such a variety of music growing up, you know, listening to vinyls of all sorts, from Swan Lake to Ella Fitzgerald to you name it, everything across the board. So a really big mix in music.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah. And you, Claire?
Gosh, yeah, well, I'm classically trained on the flute, so I did the whole growing up in England, playing the recorder in primary school, and then I went on to the flute. So I guess James Galway would have been one of the first musical influences that I was aware of. But then as a teenager, I became exposed to Riverdance, which was huge in England. And that introduced me to Irish music, and I had a love of world music, and I never really looked back then. So I started exploring traditional music when I was older, and I studied music at college. So bands like Dervish and Solas were a huge influence. And then of course the Chieftains and Matt Malloy. And it just opened the floodgates really for this, the genre, which I really didn't know anything about growing up, but now I have huge respect for, and I'm learning more every day. Every day is a school day really for me, but I just love the music. Just love it. It had a real calling to me.
Fantastic, yes. So Brian is from Westport,
Mayo.
Fantastic, eh? Fantastic place to live. I'm not sure Irish time. I'm not sure in what moment says the best place to live in Ireland.
Last year, yeah.
So it is only okay. But the most important thing is a local musician, singer, songwriter, and guitarist. So do you think it is important for musicians to be able to write their own songs?
Yeah, if it's what you aim to do, if you want to be a singer-songwriter, it's super important to do that, you know? But I mean, some people do covers, other people, you know, there's different genres that cover different aspects of music. But for me, it's really, really important to write my own music and express myself, you know, and express what's going on. It's a huge outlet for me, and it's a huge outlet for the people that listen as well. So yeah, it's really, really important to be able to write your own music and write your own songs and express what's going on, especially in these times.
Oh my God. So maybe you can sing a song for us?
I will, of course, yeah.
Ole.
We start with "Get My Girl." I'm going to do a cover version to start.
Perfect.
After all of that, I'm going to do a Van Morrison song. It's called "Brown Eyed Girl." Hey, where do we go? Days when the rain came down by the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and running, yeah, yeah, skipping and jumping in the misty morning fog, and whoa, my heart's thumping for you, my brown-eyed girl. You, my brown-eyed girl, whatever happened Tuesday, it's so slow, running down by the old man with the transistor radio, laughing and running, yeah, yeah, skipping and jumping in the misty morning fog, and all along what a front with you, my brown-eyed girl. You, my brown-eyed girl, do you remember when we used to sing sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la? La 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 la. Laughing and running, yeah, yeah, skipping and jumping, making love in the long green grass behind the stadium with you, my brown-eyed girl. You, my sha la 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 la.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm in shock, really, because I was listening to you last week and I said, wow, his voice is fantastic, really. But now, in front of my, I mean, it's incredible. And Claire, fantastic, really. Eh? So, you are a voice on the traditional Irish folk music in Ireland. Italy and Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope, please, please, now in Spain. Hola, España. Do you know we have some important Irish festival in Spain?
Yeah, I do.
We have in October in Cáceres, really, really important every year, will be more famous. But now with Corona,
yeah,
we
yeah,
can't, but yeah. We hope. And another really important for many, many years ago in Galicia, in Ortigueira. And many, many Irish musicians, bueno, Irish or doesn't matter the nationality, Celtic music, exactly. So they are really welcome.
Yeah, there's another very big one in Avilés as well. It's become quite big, so it has in Asturias.
Good.
When you're on about Cáceres, I played in Cáceres. I played in on the rooftop, El Tejado del Teatro de San Ignacio de Loyola. One night I played in Estremadura. I played a concert there one night.
Wow. Tell me about.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was an absolutely amazing concert. I played with, I had a trio called On the Level many years ago in
mm-hmm.
Spain.
This is
and we played the rooftop of this theater with a blood red moon and a full audience on the rooftop, and it was
fantastic.
Absolutely beautiful. I played with a man called Alan Gertie and a man called Peter Bulla, who was the violin player with a band called Evia Gaitero. Asturiano.
Yeah.
So that was our trio, and it was beautiful.
Good.
Yeah.
So incredible the connection between my country. Well, no, I'm not sure what is because I'm 50% Irish or Spanish, the same as you. So you were living there for many years.
Seven years.
Oh my God.
Seven
incredible. In what city?
Mainly I lived in Asturias in the northwest. I lived in Oviedo for 5 years. And then I lived in a small town called Posada de Llanera, which was between Avilés and Oviedo, and it was absolutely amazing. I was the only paddy in the village. I was the only Irish man in the village.
And it's incredible because many Irish people love Galicia. It's really Celtic culture.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But the north sometimes it's not the same. It's not the same like Ireland because here is. Okay, you can see green anywhere. It's the same in the north, but here is much intense.
I think absolutely so. Love Asturias.
Ole!
We were there last year with
Brian. Yeah, so, I got to see Asturias last year with Brian, and we played a bit of music when we were there. And I was just blown away by the beauty of the place and also the musicianship of... the musicians, the local music, and then the Irish music being played. It was just fabulous.
The level is pretty high.
Yeah, very, very high. Yeah.
We hope soon we'll be there. So we're talking about your group in Spain, On the Level. So when it was exactly? It's
16, 17 years ago, maybe, I think.
And do you have a good experience with them?
We had an absolutely amazing experience. We really did. We toured for a year.
Wow.
All over Spain, from Cáceres to we did Pamplona.
Wow.
Barañáin, a little town in Pamplona. We played one night. We played a theatre there, an amphitheatre open air. Absolutely beautiful. And we played como taleneros for bands in Asturias called Dixebra and big... traditional, Dixebra are a rock band, but they're gaiteros, which pipes. Yeah, so we had some beautiful experiences there.
Have you ever been before in Seville?
No, the furthest south I got was Estremadura.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
it's
beautiful.
Really nice.
Beautiful.
Like next time, we are really welcome.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Seville is... Hola, Sevilla! My own city. Okay. So, what age did you start to play music?
I started playing music when I was 10. 10 years of age.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so
incredible. So.
I'm playing 10 years now.
I was thinking in that scene.
Yeah, I've been a little bit more than 10 years now, Sonia, but...
And you, Claire?
I Gosh, I think I probably started, like I was saying earlier on the recorder, I was probably at age 4 or 5. I think they start quite young in England, but I was 8 when I got my first flute. It was Christmas, mm. and it was just the most exciting Christmas ever, because this lovely shiny thing appeared under the tree, and that was my first flute. So yeah, eight years old, and just loved it. Never looked back. I just love flutes, all flutes, whistles now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Many artists told you that you're a type of music really, really similar, like Cat Stevens, Jane Taylor,
mm-hmm.
for example. But who was the biggest influence to you, Ryan?
You know, that varies. It really varies with me. It depends on the style of music. It really does. But I mean, I grew up on Neil Young and Bob Dylan and Cat Stevens, that sort of music, you know.
your voice is, maybe it's better, eh?
Thank you.
And you, Claire?
Gosh, yeah, it's a really hard one to answer, isn't it? I mean, there's so many different influences. Mm. I mean, I definitely had a Cat Stevens phase. I travelled in India when I was 18, and Cat Stevens was like on my playlist, like for a lot of that travelling around. But I loved world music. I loved music from South America, from China, Japan. There's so many different influences. It's hard to pin down one in particular, and it changes, doesn't it? Changes with where you're at, what you want to listen to. I listen and sing a lot of chants, so you know, Sanskrit chants, that would have a big influence on me too. So it
really changes, doesn't it? With time as well, everything varies.
This is really, really interesting, because I think if you are traveling a lot, it's the best university, and you have a lot of influence for many countries. It's fantastic. So I'm thinking it's the best thing. Have a look at flamenco.
yes, of course, flamenco again. I mean, I know it's a very small part of the river dance, but that again, connection came in, and I can't, just say how much of an influence that whole era had, that whole period the river dance had, spreading out the Irish music across the world, and of course the Spanish influence too.
Incredible, but maybe he's coming by Sky, because he's living in Spain, in Seville. He's a Scottish musician, Philip, hello. I say, you can imagine, he's played flamenco. Wow, incredible, incredible. Better than many Spanish people, incredible. So maybe this is the connection with them, and maybe we can play together, maybe.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
So many, many, many important Irish musicians support your Brian, like Shannon, for example. Oh yeah, I love her.
Shannon, yeah, I did support Shannon. And that's a few years ago now. 4 years, 5 years ago. Shannon, Mary Coughlin, Frances Black, Aoife Scott, they were all there. We played in Brafey. It was a lovely gig. Really, really lovely gig.
This was my question. How did you get to know her?
I don't know Sharon that well. You know, I've met her on a few occasions. I don't really know her that well at all. Like, just from the odd little gig here and there that I've managed to do with them. But I don't know a lot about her, really. You know, I just love her music, you know.
For example, do you think that this type of music was influenced to you in your second album, Something in a Melody? Fantastic, eh?
I grew up listening to all sorts of music, and traditional Irish music had a huge influence on my life. Like, but it's the influence, but it's the inspiration. Aaron Shannon, it moves the inside, you know. It's not just like what you hear. It's the feeling it gives you, and the whole feel good factor and all that, and it's like, wow, that's amazing. That's it's really buzzing, you know. So that's the inspiration. You take that from it, and it's just encouraged me to want to do what I do, you know. And well, I had an amazing producer. There might be a slight connection there, because Donna Hennessy, who produced my album, played with Sharon Shannon for years. He was the guitarist in the Sharon Shannon band. So
wow, fabulous.
You know, so he's engineered and produced my last album. and he will engineer and produce my next album, hopefully, you know.
This is his. Can you play your favorite song from this album? Something in a melody.
Will we do If I Smile at You, or will I do something in a melody? The title.
Whatever you feel.
We'll do If I Smile at You. Okay. When you're crying and you're weak, just lying in your bed, and all the crazy voices, just like you said, and everything you're feeling is all so real, and you're the only one that knows your deal. Is it a problem, is it just me? I'm a look of a trust, it's just pushing for me. Will I keep on smiling if I'm losing faith? You're the only thing I can never replace. Quite alright, I might just hang around a while. Don't push up me, wanna show them love, please. If it's quite alright, I might just hang around a while. Don't push up me, wanna show them love, please. Hail Mary, full of grace, still standing late, and you came and you left without a trace. Let me hear to sing my song, trying to find the answer but get it wrong.
I'm number clan of your fans. So in 2012, you decide to go, you are going back to Westport.
Yes.
Again. So you were playing music with a new album. In this case, it's I Am So.
I Am So, yeah.
Fantastic. Can you tell me about this album?
I did the music and performing arts course in Castlebar here in the CCFE with Niamh O'Kelly, who used to work here on the radio. Actually, she was a presenter here. and collaborated with some of the students there, and one of them produced my album, Jason Langford was his name. And he produced my album. We recorded it in Ballinrobe and with Pat Coyne up in Cong. So we did.
It was your debut?
My debut album.
Incredible, in the art festival at Westport.
And you know something.
Wow.
It was one of the most amazing nights. It really was. In the back of Matt Malloy's yard bar. And the atmosphere was just electric. It really was a really, really good vibe. You know? Yeah. Big deal, so it was, you know. Really was. And TV were there, Irish TV and everything. So it was lovely.
Oh.
Lovely.
Now, Claire Sanders. She's from Devon in the south of England.
Yeah.
She's played two instruments, flute, singer, and what is the other one? Composer.
Yeah. The flute is my main instrument, but I just love instruments, so I collect. I'm a collector of instruments.
Perfect.
I kind of pretend that I play.
I think, you know, the best way to phrase that is, what do you not play? Because she actually plays.
Incredible. So.
I think guitar and I dabble a little bit on the harp and the baron. I loved playing the Irish drum. I love percussion, so that's...
violin, piano.
I dabble, but flute really is like the only one I would say
this is... What is the fundamental skill for a musician, Claire?
That's a really interesting question. I don't know if skill and, I suppose, the love of music, they can come together in the form of a musician, but I think that everybody has that innate ability to use their voice, for example, to be able to be involved in music. So, you know, I always encourage anybody who's interested in music to pick up an instrument, sit down at piano, use their voice. You know, it's something that we can all do. I was very fortunate in that, you know, I was able to access music lessons at school when I was growing up, and that definitely gave me the underpinning and the mastery of an instrument by going through the grade system. So, I mean, that was great at the time. I didn't think so much when I was being made to practice my scales endlessly, which I didn't enjoy so much. But it does take a lot of work, you know, to really master an instrument. But if you love what you're doing and if you love the sound that you're producing, you're going to just keep going back to it. So it's really more of a calling. It's more of a love for an instrument and being involved in music. And then especially when you then get to play with people like Brian, you get involved in with a group. And then it really just comes into its own. There's a real reason for being able to do something and being involved in a group. It's just really fantastic.
She was studying jazz, world, and traditional Irish music, as well as she was working as a teacher and composer, no?
Mm.
So excellent. So you are like a multitasking. This is my question. How can you do everything at the same time, Claire?
That's the thing. If I knew the answer to that, I'd bottle it and sell it. I don't know. I think it's really hard to do everything at the same time. So invariably, you get pulled down one route, and so other things then fall by the wayside a little bit, and you end up coming back. It's a weave of things in. So like, I haven't been composing really for a good while. I'd love to get back to it. You have ideas, you make little notes, you go, I'll come back to that. But again, you need the time and space to be able to do that. You know, when you're gigging, and we were very, very busy before COVID, we were, you know, out 4 or 5 nights a week. You know, the performance element takes over, and that's what you're working towards. And then I work with Mayo Sligo Leeds from ETB as an adult literacy tutor, and I'm studying for a master's to do with that at the moment. So that takes up a lot of my time. So, you know, you always have in your head, I'll just get on to this and I'll get this done and then I'll go on to the next thing. But, you know, it's a weave, isn't it?
Oh my God.
We do what we can.
incredible. So Claire has been performing traditional Irish music, Celtic music, for 20 years.
Oh, really? Can't be. Not that old.
In the United Kingdom, Republic of Ireland, Holland, And please, España, come on. I hope we can see you soon there. Your collaboration with Brian in the group, fantastic. My cousin Harry is with the guitar, flute, as well as melodies. You are making different melodies. Can you tell us what is the secret to having a good relationship with him?
Well, basically, as long as Brian just does what I say, it's absolutely fine.
That's how it works.
I don't know. Do you know what? It's a real gift and it's a real blessing for me to work with someone like Brian, because it's almost, you almost don't have to use words. It's like the music kind of just happens. So when you have that connection with somebody where you don't even need to explain, or oh, well, could you just do this while I'm doing this, or I've got this idea, and it just happens spontaneously, then you just know you've got something really magical. And so that's what I feel that we have.
Good. Can you play some song for us?
Love to. Are we playing a tune?
Yeah.
I'm sure all audience say, come on, support this fantastic band.
I really have to check my tuning. If you don't mind, this will be 1 second.
So, this is a tune which was actually written by a concertina player from England, John
Fitzpatrick.
And it's a beautiful tune. It's called Jump at the Sun. And this is our kind of arrangement of it. Thank you.
so good, really.
Thank you very much.
Actually, they are working together in a new project. No, we create a new material. Tell me about that, please. I'm sure everybody very exciting to hear it.
Well, I think we've been kind of collecting and writing really the last sort of 12 to 18 months, and we've a good few ideas recorded now on our phones. So we've some lovely tunes that we've arranged, and Brian then was very, very proactive during lockdown and has been really busily writing away in Westport. So there's probably a couple of projects ready to kind of come out when we get around to actually recording them. So there'll definitely be a My Cousin Harry album.
Fantastic.
Definitely a Brian Duffy album as well.
Yeah, I mean, during lockdown I've written over 20 songs and I've another 30 in the computer to look at yet, so busy. Yeah, it was made full use of the time.
Yeah.
And and the stuff we've been writing besides as well, like, it's absolutely gorgeous. So that's
So it's very exciting, and it's just we just have to kind of carve out the time to just get them recorded. Much, yeah.
How do you price your own work?
Would you like to answer that, or will I?
Price.
Muy bien, él habla español. Además, muy bien, ¿eh?
Muchas gracias, muy amable.
That's a really hard one to answer, isn't it? I think we know the value of what we do because we get so much enjoyment out of it. You know, if we didn't enjoy it, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't go out together and play. And, you know, it's been a really strange time during lockdown because obviously the gigs just aren't around now. And so, you know, the playing for myself anyway, I haven't played as much as I would normally be playing. And then when we do play, so it was lovely just doing a little bit of preparation for coming in today. Suddenly it awakens up. Oh my goodness, this is fantastic, and we really missed that. So we it's hard to put a price on it. We very much hope that other people get as much enjoyment or a bit of the enjoyment that we get out of playing, but I guess that's for other people to comment on.
That was a big learning curve in the lockdown. I tried to do a few online concerts, and it's very difficult, like you're singing into a camera. But I got some really, really good feedback, from people like that were sending messages going like, oh, keep the music going because it's our lifeline now. Like for a lot of people during the lockdown, it was a big thing to come on and have a listen to the gigs. You know, different people were doing different gigs on Facebook Live and stuff like that. And it really was for a lot of people. It became, their event on a certain evening was to go and have a listen to a gig. It was lovely and great feedback. So that gave it huge value, it made me look a little bit more at what's actually happening with music and all of that, and the power of it, because it's such a powerful medium. Like music is unbelievably powerful, the effect it has on people, the listeners and the musicians. It's unreal.
What is your favorite part about this line of work, Claire?
I think it's just the buzz you get from playing, particularly with another person. I think that it's lovely to be able to play music on your own and to be learning and getting the skills, but it's really when you come together with another person. So it's we get such a buzz out of coming up with an idea, or just practicing a new song that Brian might have, or an idea for an arrangement of a cover, whatever it is. Or I pick up a new tune and go, oh, Brian, we just have to try this tune out. It never for me, and it hasn't, and I hope it never does. If it does, I'll have to stop. But if you ever sort of get to the point where I don't enjoy it, or it becomes stale or stagnant, then I'll have to change something else. But so far that hasn't. There's so much variety in music. There's so many different things to try, different styles. You just never run out of ideas, or you never run out of inspiration from listening to other people.
And for you, Brian?
Just what? got all quiet on this one.
I like
it. No, I mean, it is an inspiration playing music with you. It's something new every time.
Mm.
It really is. It's never the same. Similar, but never the same. And it's that whole atmosphere of capturing a crowd and being there, you know, and just have a whole room full of people, like-minded people, thinking the same thing at the same time is a very powerful thing, you know.
Mm.
We've done some support gigs that we've come off the stage like completely like in ecstasy, you know, completely feeling. Paul Brady was an amazing. We opened for Paul Brady, so we did in the Traveller's Friend, in the TF here in Castlebar, and just the feeling coming off the stage was absolutely amazing.
That was an amazing gig for us, and there's something about being pushed outside your comfort zone. You know, like this could either go really right or it could go terribly wrong. And that's part of it is kind of pushing yourself, you know, just to be a little bit out of your comfort zone, thinking. You know, can we do this? And you kind of know in yourself, yes, we can. But but like Brian says, it is the buzz. So there is a huge. You're almost in an altered state when you do a gig like that.
You really are, because I mean the nerves kick in, and it's like you get the first song, get through the first song. There's no other way to describe it. Like, and then it all just starts to flow.
Mm.
You know, and it's the same. Freddie White was a beautiful gig as well.
Yeah.
We opened for Freddie White, who's an amazing singer-songwriter, Irish singer-songwriter. I grew up listening to him, and then we got to open for him in Christchurch here in Castlebar as well, which was a dream come true. Like, and he was such a lovely, lovely man, and he was so encouraging as to what we were doing as well. So that was another really, really lovely gig. Mm. Yeah.
Can you play one song and everybody listen to you? Another one?
Yeah.
Okay. What was like a song or a tune or?
Whatever you want, you are the side.
The Hungry Rock or something else?
Maybe we should do a little selection or something. Maybe the O'Carolans, the Slow, you know, there's some nice, beautiful. This would be a very an example of a very old tune mixed with a newer tune. So O'Carolan. Was a blind harpist in the 1600s in Ireland, and his music has been written down and collected. So this is a particularly beautiful one for the flute and guitar, and then we'll go off into another.
And that's a typical example of how do we work together. Claire says, and I do.
And I do. This is.
Yeah. Espera un momentín.
Es español, muy bien, muy bien. Mi acento es sevillano, un poco andaluz, pero bueno. Sorry, we're joking about. It's only that.
Thank you.
it is completely true because I was in ecstasy. It's true. Incredible, incredible. I hope all the best for this fantastic group. Really amazing,
so
amazing. So imagine you have the opportunity to change something about the music industry. What was the first thing?
We're going to abolish COVID.
Come on.
We can all get back to work, yeah. I keep bringing it back to COVID, but I'm self-employed as a musician. It's my profession. Mm-hmm. And the carpet has just been swiped from under me, as it has for every other musician in the country. You know, so it's a massive thing. So you say, what would you do to... I really would. I would, if there was an instant click, that's all I'd ask. Everything else will come, Everything else is on its way, but it's just, it's really put a halt to everything, on so many levels for so many different people. Mm. So.
And you, Claire?
For me, I guess, yeah. If people can use music for positive well-being for themselves, particularly at this time, I think it's such a powerful medium just to be able to maybe think, well, I've got more time than I normally would do, or how can I get my kids involved or my family involved or people involved, in music, pick up those instruments that might be lying around the house, learn that song that you've wanted to learn and perhaps have been asked to sing and you haven't yet done it, just to try and use the time to use and bring music into your life, even if it's just, one song or one sound or one tune. I think just to try and turn what is an incredibly difficult time for so many people and bring a bit of positivity through music.
So do you think in general the music and the musician should be get more support from the government or from...
Completely. It's a battle I don't want to get into now on the radio, but it's a battle. It really is,
That way you have a good opportunity now.
Yeah, I'd want to be very...
tell me about...
it is a struggle, yeah. I mean, it really is. I've seen some great interviews recently by Luann Parrell, who's a singer-songwriter based in Wicklow. Wicklow or Dublin, I'm not sure which, actually. I get a message tonight saying it was Wexford. But she's put some great interviews together and has been on national radio talking about the whole scenario for musicians, for sound engineers, for the lighting crew, for roadies, for
artists.
Everyone. The whole thing has gone for a lot of people, And, it has an effect. It has a serious effect on people. It really does, That's what I do. I play music. That's always what I've done. And music is my life. And I can't turn around now after a lifetime. After 37 years playing music, I can't turn around after honing an art for that long and say I want to do something else, because I don't. This is what I know. This is what I do. And it's a huge part of the Irish culture. It is the Irish culture. It's the pub culture for sure, yeah, but it's also the Irish culture on many other different levels, We've toured abroad and, it's not always pub scenes at all. It's big scenarios where you're playing and people love Irish music, So we have to keep it alive. Mm. We really do. We're important people as musicians,
And what's your opinion, Claire?
I haven't really got anything else to add to what Brian has very eloquently said there. It's a very challenging time for the performing arts world, and I just hope that we can hang in there, really, and if things change, that circumstances get better, and we can get back to some kind of normality, because I just think it'd be an awful shame to lose, particularly here in Ireland. One of the reasons, I came and moved to Ireland was for the music. When was it? 16 years ago now, and it's such a huge draw for so many people, and it's a huge oral tradition. Handing down tunes and songs. I have learnt so much from the most amazing musicians. I feel very privileged to have been able to do that. And, the thought that might not carry on, it just You just don't go there because it takes you there.
I know, but here is much better than another country, because for example in Spain, every musician, every artist in general need more support. So this is the reason we need to do something. This is the good intention about this show, no? To support, and maybe because now, for example, with the problematic situation now, is Corona. What's happening? Every pub is closed. Come on, we need to do something because we need to live. Everybody. So everybody. So okay, I would like it to change. Well, no, maybe it will be impossible, but okay, we can try to do something. Maybe.
I think the change is going to be really slow. You know, it's going to take a year. Opinion for that to change, but I think musicians and all the people in the industry should be helped along the way, you know, and supported for this year. The musicians are the first ones that are called to do a charity gig. I don't know how many charity gigs I've done. I love doing them, don't get me wrong, I really do. You know, the shoe is on the other foot now, and it's time for people in government to step up to the mark and help musicians. That's the reality of it, you know. We've done our bit, let them do theirs.
So maybe we can sing. Ole, 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 ole. Maybe it's, we have a good opportunity to listen another song, and maybe everybody will be more happy. Come on, this is it. Thank to the music. Come on, the musician. They are the best. They are cure. This is the cure. Completely, so especially in these bad moments. So come on.
Okay, I'm going to do another song off my last album. It's called Oceans Apart, and well, I hope you like it. I can't get you out of my head. You must have said, although we have oceans apart, I can't get you out of my heart. Out of control. Although we're in two different scenes, and I can't get you out of my dreams. Hey, it's not easy. Something I should say, you know, it's not easy when you're 1 million miles away, and I can't get you out of my love. Something I should say, no, it's not easy. I'm trying to look the other way. Something that
fantastic. Oh, ole, ole. Oh. Wow, incredible, incredible. So now that you have the good opportunity to speak to all audience, all fans, come on, I'm in the number one now, eh? Really, really. What's the message do you like it to give them?
Just thanks for being there. You know, it's very simple for me. Thanks for being there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for support. And thanks for continuing to support with everything that's going on now. And yeah, just thank you for giving me the opportunity to do what I most enjoy in life, you know. And thank you for appreciating it and encouraging it.
And you, Claire?
Yeah, I get just everything Brian just said. Yeah, a huge thanks to the support and the opportunities, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Can you tell us where and when is your next perform like?
Gosh, no.
We can't.
Come on.
The first time ever, because...
No.
Is this...
Yeah. You know...
Maybe.
We may do a few Facebook Live concerts, you know?
Mm.
But really, that's where it's at the moment. Mm. So if you do, if you check out... You can check out my website, brianduffymusic.com. Okay, or also you could go to my Facebook page, Brian Duffy Music. We do them off my page, I think, is the best thing, you know? So we do our My Cousin Harry gigs, and I have been doing a series of gigs, but to be honest I stopped for a while because it was complicated to do, you know. You're singing into a camera and all that, so I did it for a while and then I've taken a break, and now maybe I'll feel a little bit refreshed to go back to it, you know. But I had to take a break when I did from doing that as well. I really did, you know. It's a totally different ball game. It's a different deal than playing live in front of a lot of people, you know. You know, it's difficult. It's difficult on another level. But once again, people encouraged, you know, and sent some beautiful messages. That, you know, and that's the encouragement, and that's what keeps you going. It really is in times like this.
Mm. And you, Claire?
Yeah, likewise. I haven't gone down the online performance route yet. I'm not saying that I won't, but it is a different vibe. So yeah, watch this space.
I'm sure that everybody want to know, where can I find you, for example, exactly. Say,
I'm my music page, Brian Duffy Music on Facebook, is very active at the moment. It really is, you know.
You will create something like a sofa or listen to...
Yeah,
tell me about.
Yeah, a lot of people really liked the name, you know. It was during lockdown, so it was called Sofa, So Good. It was a play on words, like So Far, So Good. So it was Sofa, So Good.
Oh, good.
And they were lovely. They were lovely, you know. But yeah, I'll have to get back to them as well now.
Back to the sofa.
Yeah.
Okay. So unfortunately, we don't have more time. We are really close to say bye-bye. But before I would like it, if you can say something to all audience, or for example, to play another song before say bye-bye. This is really interesting.
I think maybe we could say it best with a tune.
Okay.
Do you think,
Ryan? Yeah. Indeed. I just want to tune again, a stickler for tuning. What about the... You're feeling hungry. Would you like to? Yeah. And I just, to the Spanish audience, muchas gracias.
Hola.
Eres super simpático y gracias para venir aquí para la entrevista y todo. Estoy muy, muy contento por este.
Ay, muchas gracias. Para mí es un honor, un placer grande teneros
muchas
aquí,
gracias.
De verdad.
Gracias.
Muchísimas gracias.
Tengo que practicar mi español. Bueno. Would you like to do the Hungry Rock? Yeah.
So we'll finish with a tune, which is a tune from Written by a band called Dervish, who are a Sligo based band, and would have been huge and still are a huge influence on me and my playing. And it's a beautiful tune called The Hungry Rock.
Fantastic, really, really, really good. All the best for this fantastic group. My cousin Harry.
Thank you, Sonia. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. Thank you, Castlebar Radio community. Thanks God we are living here in community and we support this show. So I hope. But now I was thinking the level is really high. So, oh my God. Thank you, of course, José Antonio Arana. He's my NGO. He supports this NGO, Solidarity People. They are here. This is fabulous. See you soon. Another thing. You can listen to us again next Friday at 6 p.m. Irish time. 7:07 hora española.
A las 8 en las Canarias.
Exacto, muy bien. Muy bien. So, see you soon next week with more music.
Thank you very much, Sonia. Thank you.